Let's turn in the Word of God this morning to James 1. James chapter 1. We read this in connection with question and answer 115 of the Catechism, which teaches us about why we continue strictly to preach the law of God. And the focus in the course of the second point of the sermon will be on the end of the chapter, the description of the hearer and doer of the Word of God. Let's read the entire chapter, James 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So far we read the holy and inspired Word of God. Let us read together now question and answer 115 of Lord's Day 44 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in the seeking of the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord's Day 44, question and answer 115, which we consider this morning, further develops and brings to a conclusion what was begun at the beginning of Lord's Day 44 on the 10th commandment. That's the main subject of Lord's Day 44, the last commandment of God's law, thou shalt not covet. And what we learned in that sermon last week, Sunday, is that the 10th commandment really teaches us what God requires in His law, namely perfection. And that's because the 10th commandment, coveting, is that which speaks directly and explicitly to your heart. And so we considered the language of the Heidelberg Catechism that demonstrates that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts. The 10th commandment shows us the perfection that God requires in His law. The next question and answer, 114, follows up with that and asks the question, can we who are converted perfectly keep those commandments? This is what's required, perfection. Now, can we, as converted children of God, keep those commandments perfectly? And the answer that we explained last week was no. Even the holiest of men has but a small beginning of this obedience. And following those two questions and answers, logically comes this final question and answer of Lord's Day 44. If those things are true, if what is required in the law is perfection, if the converted believer can't keep that law perfectly, this is the logical, good next question. Why then even continue strictly to preach that law? If the converted believer cannot keep it perfectly, if the converted believer only has a small beginning of the obedience, why do we continue as a church to insist that the law of God be preached and that the manner in which it is preached is strictly? That's the question and answer that we focus on today. And we'll see in the second point of the sermon why that is the case. So let's consider the end of Lord's Day 44 under the theme Preaching and the Law of God. That's what we're developing today, the idea of preaching in connection with preaching the law of God. Let's consider in the first place the strict preaching of the law. I'd like to spend the first part of the sermon developing that language of the question. That's what we find in the question as it's stated before us. And oftentimes in the Heidelberg Catechism, the question, it teaches us something that we need to know, not just the answer. And then in the second place, we'll consider more explicitly the answer, the positive fruit of strictly preaching the law of God. So we begin this morning with developing the idea that the law of God is to be preached strictly. And at the beginning, understand that what we are talking about in the sermon is the preaching of the law of God. Not just the law of God generally in our lives, though the law of God generally in our lives plays an important role, but what the specific point that the Catechism is making in this Lord's Day is that the law of God is to be preached. And that's significant. And that's significant and important, especially for two reasons. Number one, it's incredibly important because it shows to us that what we are talking about is Jesus Christ coming before his people and speaking his word. That we are dealing with preaching means that we are dealing with the very voice of Christ himself. Because that's what preaching is. A preacher is a herald, one who is sent by and speaks the word of the king. The herald would go to the other kingdom or to those in the kingdom and say one thing and one thing alone. This is the word of the king. And when he said that, he had the authority of the king. And preaching is the voice of Christ to his people. My sheep, Jesus says, hear my voice. And they hear his voice in the preaching. So that when we talk about preaching the law, the fact that we are dealing with preaching means that it is Christ himself, authoritatively through the instrument of a preacher, setting forth the law before his people. So important for us to remember. Because when it comes to hearing the law of God preached, we very quickly and easily can set it aside or dismiss that as it applies to me. But then we need to remember this isn't the word of a man to us when the law is preached, but this is the word of Jesus Christ himself as he brings it with all of the authority and power that it can possibly come with in the preaching of the word to the congregation. So that in the first place, incredibly significant that it's not just the law generally, but the preaching of the law that we're talking about in this sermon. In the second place, the significance of that is that that means that we are dealing with the gospel. That we are talking about the preaching of the law means, by virtue of that fact, that we are talking about, in the end, the gospel. Because that's what preaching is. And that's always what preaching is. If it is preaching as defined and described in the scriptures, then it is the gospel. And the gospel is good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, as the one in whom we have full and free salvation from the guilt, power, and consequences of our sin, and the one in whom, therefore, we have everlasting life with God. So, when the Catechism talks about the preaching of the law, in no way does that mean that it is antithetical to or militating against the gospel. But when the law is properly preached, it is the law that is preached that leads us to better understand the main message of preaching, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Reformed believers, we are not those who say that we set the law aside, because the law is that which is against the gospel. The law wrongly preached is against the gospel. The law preached as the way to salvation is against the gospel. Then all the law would do is curse and destroy and beat down. And there'd be no hope and there'd be no gospel in that. But the law, rightly preached, is used by God in order to see the glory and the beauty and the awesomeness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're dealing here with the preaching of the law, which means it's the voice of Christ and the authority of Christ. And it means fundamentally, always, that it's gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus alone. The catechism in the answer, the question, tells us the manner in which this gospel, this law, must be preached. And the language that the catechism uses is this: strictly. Why will God have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached? If the preaching of the law is going to serve the purpose that God intends, as described in the answer to question 115, not only must the law be preached, but it needs to be preached in the right way. And the way in which it must be preached is strictly. What it means that it's strictly preached is at least a few things. Number one, it means that it's preached as law. If the law is strictly preached, it must be preached for what it is. Law. It's an obvious point, but it's a very important point. That what we're dealing with is commandments, imperatives, the must of God as it is found in His Word and as it must be brought to God's people. If the law is going to do what we're going to describe in the second point of the sermon, that's the way in which it must be preached. And a strict preaching of the law is a preaching of the law that comes to the people of God and says, "Thou shalt," and says, "Thou shalt not." That's the strict preaching of the law. Number two, the strict preaching of the law means that it's preached from the perspective of what God requires as perfection. The strict preaching of the law is the preaching of the law in harmony with the 10th commandment, as we explained it in the sermon last week. The strict preaching of the law is the preaching of the law that says this is what God requires and demands, that not even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments arise in your heart, and that we hate sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. That's the strict preaching of God's law. Preaching it from the perspective of what God truly requires in His law. The Ten Commandments summarized by Jesus: love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That stands in contradiction, for example, to the way in which the Pharisees of Jesus' day taught the law of God. Ironically, they thought that it was strict, even stricter, because they would add law upon law upon law, burden upon burden upon burden, in order to say to the people, look at what we are doing. So clearly and meticulously in every part of our life following the law. But the reality of it is that it was no strict preaching of the law and teaching of the law, because all it was outward and formal. There was no depth to it. It was just do this outwardly, and then you're obeying the law of God, and through that earning your righteousness with God. That's not the strict preaching of the law, and that's not the preaching of the law that's going to do what the next point of the sermon is going to explain. But this does. The strict preaching is when God comes to us in His law and says, "This, in the deepest sense, is what I require of you. To love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength." Then it's strict. And then it leads us to know our sin, as we will describe it later. And last, we can say that the strict preaching of the law is the preaching of the law that applies to all of God's people. Always there's the temptation when we hear the law of God preached to say that it's not for me. To hear a law preached in such a way that you say, yeah, I understand the principle of that law, but then the applications are made and quickly the mind goes to somebody else. He needs to hear that application. But the strict preaching of the law is the law that comes to every single one of us. Each commandment in all of its weight as it applies to each of us, young and old. So that every time the law is preached, we're not able to wiggle out from underneath it. And we're not able to quickly go there in our mind or there in our mind. But it stays right here and shows to me my sin and leads me to my Christ and guides me in my life to the path of obedience and holiness. And so the strict preaching of the law is the preaching of the law that makes clear that God's law in all of its weight and in all of its particulars applies to all of God's people. The Catechism, to conclude the first point of the sermon, states that this is what God requires. Why will God have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached? And take note of that. This is what God requires. This is what God requires, very simply, because this is what is in God's Word. If preaching is the preaching of the gospel, and preaching is the preaching of the gospel that expounds the Word of God, and we go to the Word of God, we know that the Word of God is filled with His commandments. And so if the Word is going to be preached, the commandments are to be preached. This is what God requires, as it is seen in the example of Jesus Christ Himself. You want to hear strict preaching of God's law? Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where we have the sermon of Jesus on the kingdom of heaven, and where He makes very clear, contrary to the idea of the Pharisees, which led the people astray, that this is what adultery is. Not just the act itself, but the lust in the heart. And this is what murder is, not just the act itself, but the anger that is in one's heart. God requires this because Christ did it. And Christ did it as the prophet during His earthly ministry. And Christ continues to do it through those whom He has called to function in the office of minister. And God requires it, as you see it in the epistles. Paul made very clear what the law is, that it's good, that it has a purpose. And he himself, by his letters and by his example, did the same. It's very clear in the Word of God that the law must be preached. To summarize the first point of the sermon, we're dealing with the preaching of God's law. Preaching, which means voice of Christ, gospel. Strictly preached. Strictly preached because it's commands. Strictly preached because of the perfection required. Strictly preached because it speaks to every one of us. And this is what God commands. As law is found in Scripture, as Jesus himself and Paul himself preached the law. And so now let's consider in the second place what is the positive fruit of that in your life and in mine. And that's what we have in the answer specifically to question and answer 115. And really we can summarize it in 2 points. First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature and thus become the more earnest, seeking the remission of our sin and righteousness in Christ. Know our sin, seek remission, as it's found in Christ. And number two, we constantly endeavor, pray to God for the grace of the Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God. Both of those ideas we can see in James chapter 1, and in particular the end of James chapter 1, where James teaches us about the hearer of the word only, in contrast to the one who hears the word and is a doer of that word. What James teaches at the end of this chapter, beginning in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only," harmonizes with and illuminates these couple of points that the Catechism makes in this question and answer. So let's focus on James 1 and unfold a little bit what James teaches at the end of this chapter. What James makes clear is that there is a difference between one who is a hearer of the word only and one who is a hearer and a doer of that word. He describes the difference by teaching us that the law of God, what he describes as the perfect law of liberty, serves as a mirror to show us ourselves. That's what a mirror does. What a mirror does is show us what we look like. And so to bring this back to the preaching of the law, what's happening when the law of God is preached is that the preacher, so to speak, is coming to the pulpit, and with him he comes with a huge mirror. And he puts that mirror in front of the congregation. And when the law is preached, it functions as that mirror. This law is like this mirror to show you what you look like. But remember this too, that the preacher who does that first sets a mirror in the back so that he himself who preaches it knows what he looks like, because he's right there with every child of God in this regard. The hearer of the law, who is not a doer, is described this way in verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." What James teaches here is that the hearer of the word only sees himself in the mirror of God's law, but then very, very quickly forgets what manner of man he was. It's interesting. He describes what he sees as his natural face, literally the face of his birth, and the hearer only sees the face of his birth, his natural face in that law, but then quickly forgets what manner of man he was. What does he forget? What he forgets, according to the text, is not the object that revealed to him what he looked like. What he forgets is not the mirror. What he forgets is what he looks like as it's seen in the mirror. That's what he forgets. And that's what makes him a hearer of the word only. Contrast the hearer with the doer. This is the doer. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The doer continues in something. He sees himself in the perfect law of liberty, and he continueth therein. And it is my contention that what James is teaching here is that what he continues therein is not only the word, the law, that he saw in that mirror. It is that. But what he continues in is the knowledge of what he looked like as it was revealed in the mirror of God's law. That's the contrast. The hearer only looks, sees himself, his natural face, and quickly forgets. But the hearer and doer looks, sees himself, and he remembers. He continues. Yes, in the word that he sees, but more basically, he continues in the knowledge of what his natural face looks like. James chapter 1 teaches us about the first point described in the Heidelberg Catechism, that when the law of liberty is preached, it shows us what we look like. It shows us our natural face, the face of our birth, our sinful natures, and our sins that we commit. That's what the law does. And that's why the nature of the preaching of the law must be a strict preaching of the law, so that you really know what you look like by nature. That's the point. You see, if it's not the strict preaching of the law, it's going to show something very different. And this is why the Pharisees' teaching, all it did was cause pride to rise up in their hearts and in the hearts of the people. Because when the law, as it's preached, was just this, obey commandments outwardly. Just don't commit adultery physically and just don't kill anyone. And oh, by the way, here are a bunch of other burdens that we put upon you. Don't carry your bed on Sunday. Don't make a certain amount of steps on that day. And you hear that law, and because all it concerns is outward obedience, what type of thing does the law show you? It's not the natural face of being a sinner, but I look pretty good. I look pretty good because I didn't commit adultery today and I didn't kill anyone. It shows something nice. And so it causes one all the more to be filled with pride. But the strict preaching of the law, the preaching of the law that says this is what God requires, perfection, and it speaks to every single one of you on every commandment, and it's what God says must be done, that preaching of the law, when it's set before the congregation, shows us truly what we look like by nature. My natural face, I'm a sinner, a guilty sinner. who stands before a perfect God. And therefore, as the Catechism teaches, what that law does when it is preached leads me directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I more earnestly seek the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. And that's why the preaching of the law is preaching. It's gospel. Because always the end of it is so that you know your sin and so that you flee to the person of Jesus Christ, whom you know and must know as the only Savior for that sin and that guilt that is revealed to you by the mirror of God's law as it's set before you in the preaching of it. And then with that, and out of that, is the next part. And the next part is, now this law is used by God to guide me in the life of obedience. Now this law is used by God so that I am more and more conformed to the image of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. And go back to James 1 and that idea that we expressed earlier. This is what a doer of the word is. The doer of the word doesn't forget his natural face. That's the hearer only. He quickly forgets. He quickly forgets that he's a sinner. He quickly forgets his need for Christ. But the hearer and doer sees himself in the mirror of God's law, knows who he is, and continues in that. And what that means, beloved, is that we continue all our life long in the knowledge of who we are as sinners. And in the end, that's the one who's going to remember as well the law and the word and do that word. Because the one who knows himself as a sinner daily is seeking the remission of that sin in Jesus Christ. And out of Christ is saying, now I want to hear that law. Now I want to see that law. Now I never want to forget that law. Because I know who I am in Christ, and I want to live for Him, and I want to be conformed to His image. And I know that God has given me this perfect guide to lead me in that life conformed to His image. And so as you remember who you are as a sinner, and as you're confronted with that all your life long by the preaching of the law and the word, you're led to Christ, and out of Christ you're led to remember the law that revealed that sin, now as the perfect guide to holiness and thankfulness to Him. Then you want to hear James 1, and say, I want to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, verse 19. I want to more and more lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I want to, verse 26, bridle my tongue. I want to live in pure and undefiled religion, to visit those who are in need, and to keep myself unspotted from the world. Why preach the law strictly? Because it shows us our natural face. When we remember our natural face, we're led to Jesus. Never forgetting that natural face, we're constantly led to Jesus. And in Him, we then want to be conformed to God, knowing that the law leads us and guides us in that way. Beloved, we end with two encouragements. two encouragements, one from the passage and one from the catechism. Encouragement number one, for the hearer and doer, the end of verse 25, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the word of God. The one who hears, doesn't forget his natural face, continues in it, and does God's word, is blessed in his deed. Not because of his deed, never because of his deed, only and ever because of Jesus Christ and his deeds and works. But nevertheless, in the way of obedience, as doers of the word, blessed in this deed. That's an encouragement that God gives to us as we hear and strive to be doers of his word. Encouragement number two, the catechism. Till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. We just have a beginning now, beloved, and it's just a beginning. Because that natural face is always what we're going to see when we peer into the law of liberty and as it's preached. Every day it's going to be the same. I'm a sinner. Every day, therefore, it's I need Jesus. Every day it's I pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit to be conformed to God. But here's the encouragement. Encouragement is that one day there will be that perfection. The encouragement is that one day in glory we won't see our natural face anymore. That one day in glory we will only see what we see now, but then it will be only that. The perfect, beautiful, glorious righteousness of Jesus Christ as we are in him and as our sinful natures are stripped away from us. And so that is the encouragement as we press on. Yes, we look into the perfect law of liberty. We see ourselves in the preaching of the law. But always as we're looking into that, we're also looking up and we're also looking forward. And saying, as I press on, by faith, looking to Christ, I know this is coming. And what a day that will be when the perfection will be mine in Christ. And so knowing that and letting that be an encouragement to us because of what God has promised, we press on, striving not just to be hearers of his word, but striving to be doers by his grace as well. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this word of truth that we could consider this morning, for thy law, for the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, the freedom and the ability by thy Spirit to obey it, to have a beginning of obedience in it. And we pray that we might always know our sin, always be led to Christ, and always strive to be conformed to thee, our God, through obedience to thy law. We pray this in Jesus' name.